Okay, we are recording. My name is Ashley Tabolo. It is July 25th, 2021. It is 2:05 p.m. We are at a mutual friend's house in Williamsville, and I'm here with Lauren Pease. Lauren, please remember that any answers that you give will be included in a publicly accessible database. Is that okay with you?
That is perfectly fine.
Okay, so Lauren, could you state your name and say what the primary things you do on a day-to-day basis are?
My name is Lauren Pease. I live in Williamsville, and on a day-to-day basis, I am a stay-at-home mom. I have a 6-year-old daughter and a 1-year-old foster daughter.
Yeah, that's good. And when you first learned about COVID-19, what were your thoughts about it?
My thoughts were, how are things going to change? Specifically, I was worried about my husband's job because I'm a stay-at-home mom, so everything... The reason we moved here was because of my husband's job, and I was worried about finances. The forks now.
Hey, sorry, we just had to pause the interview because of our screaming children. So you were worried about your husband's job.
Yes.
And you were saying because you moved here for it.
Correct. So just specifically, I was worried about his job and, like, if we happen to lose it, you know, your mind just kind of goes to the worst case scenario. So I was worried, like, are they going to remove our foster daughter if he loses his job? How are we going to make ends meet? And they were talking about all of the products flying off the shelves at the stores, and that made it all very real. Because for a while it didn't seem real until they started closing the schools, I feel like.
And was his job affected at all by the pandemic?
Yes. He started working from home, and I guess like a lot of jobs, it seems like they try to do the best they could working from home, but there was a lot of downtime and people didn't know what they needed. He works as a video editor. So he works at a post-production house. And so things just kind of were at a standstill for a while. And that was very unsettling. Too much time to think.
What were your thoughts on the economy in general during the pandemic?
My thoughts on the economy... I don't think I started thinking about it until... Like, broadly, until later. But... just supply and demand was a little concerning. Like, do we have enough toilet paper?
That was a very real concern.
But I think we were fine. But yeah, I don't think we really... Like, once I knew that his job was secure, we started getting a little more comfortable. So we knew that, like, our foster daughter was going to stay, and we would be able to afford our mortgage payments, and he was able to stay on full time, which not everyone in his office was able to do, which was a relief for me. And I stayed home, and I was thinking I might have to go back to work, but I didn't have to, just to make ends meet. But we were fine, and so I stayed home and focused on Robin's education and taking care of the little one.
So other than toilet paper and employment, what issues have most concerned you about the COVID-19 pandemic?
I tend to worry about other people, especially our foster daughter's family and people in her community. I'm trying to think of specifics. I feel like we're not quite out of the woods, but
no.
It feels like we are sometimes. What was the question again?
Did you have other major concerns during the pandemic?
Socialization for the kiddos. especially my daughter being school-aged and not being in school, we were lucky enough to have good friends that had the same perspective as us as far as being safe and masking. So that was to our advantage. We were able to get her socialized that way. But that was the main concern, I think. We were pretty fortunate and privileged in our position.
Did you know anyone who contracted COVID?
Yes, but not like in our immediate circle. I think we're also very privileged in the fact that we're in the suburbs and we had the space and the resources to stay safe. You know, we weren't on top of each other in our housing. We weren't sharing our housing with people that we didn't need to. But like just our neighbor across the street passed away from it. And then our neighbor behind us passed away from it. And our friend's mother, who was living in Florida at the time, passed away from it as well.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. You're in a bit of a unique situation having a foster child at home during the pandemic. Was your day-to-day routine with her affected by the pandemic at all?
It sure was. So, like, she has scheduled visits with her birth parents, where she's picked up by our agency worker, like our caseworker. And so during the height of the pandemic, might have been the height in New York City, but when things were very unknown, they switched and had video calls with her parents. And so her mother was very good about it, but her dad was not interested, only wanted to see her in person. So that was a big change for us. We had to, like, you know, instead of just passing her off to be picked up, I had to facilitate hour-long video calls, which was fine. We were happy to do it. I'm able to. But also, it just, like, upped our awareness of risk factors in the community that we had to expose ourselves to once things started opening back up again towards the end of the summer.
And outside of that, how did you manage your day-to-day activities at home?
Day-to-day?
Sorry, we had another interruption from the kiddos. Let me say that. What did you do day-to-day during quarantine?
During quarantine, like the initial quarantine, I don't think we were wearing masks at that point. Are you talking about the beginning? Or are you just talking about in general?
Like once you were sheltering in place, like staying home.
Oh, sheltering in place. We had just a lot of quality family time. It was like early spring. So, you know, Evan's work was kind of quiet and Robin wasn't doing much schoolwork at the time. So it was a lot of just scrolling and seeing what other people were doing and making sure other people were okay. Probably watching too much news. But then also we had a lot of family meals together and kind of just reflecting and spending family time.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, it was actually really nice.
So you mentioned that Robin did not have a lot of work to do. What was your experience with online learning, or presumably online learning, during the pandemic?
So the way that she was in kindergarten.
She was in kindergarten.
No, when it first started, she was in kindergarten.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? So, I don't know. Because she was in kindergarten, I did not place a lot of emphasis on, like, making sure that she got her work done. Like, I wanted to make sure that she was, like, socially and emotionally okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that she'd be able to catch up otherwise. But it was a lot of just, like, assignments. And then when they started getting their act together, because everyone was in this, like, COVID haze of, like, oh, my God, what's going on? Then they would meet for an hour a week. and just kind of have social circle time for kindergarten. And then during for first grade, she stayed home for all of the school year, kindergarten.
So did Robin like that socialization online, or?
She did. I think she was kind of indifferent to it because we were at the very end of the school year anyway, so mm-hmm. it was like they were just kind of doing what they could. And like I said, we had some close friends that had the same outlook, so that made things easier. But I think it was nice that she got to see her teacher, and then they did a parade, which was really nice. I think they did that twice, where all the teachers would come around to the neighborhood to see the kids in their cars, and that, it like unexpectedly made me cry. I was like getting teary and emotional.
Yeah, they did that in our neighborhood as yeah. well. It was sweet. And you said she did this whole last year, first grade, online as well. And
she did.
Was that any different?
Yeah. So the expectation, like I think the teachers kind of had their act together and had more time to prepare. So you could, I don't even remember how they did it for Williamsville. You could, I think everyone started at home and then you could choose to go back. Correct.
Was there a hybrid schedule and you could go
yes.
hybrid or you could stay full remote?
Yes. So anyway, we chose to, because I'm home, we chose to stay home with her, and her teacher did a really good job. So she had all remote students and she did a really good job of scheduling the day. I think they had about 2.5 to 3 hours of face-to-face learning with the teacher and the teacher's assistant. And they broke out into small groups. And I was very impressed with the level of instruction that she was able to receive. They used a program called Seesaw, and then they used Zoom to facilitate the learning. And she had a great year, a lot of growth.
Oh, that's great to hear. So much, people have had a mixed bag of experiences, I think.
Yeah, that's true. We definitely had a good one.
What were your primary sources of news during the pandemic?
NPR is on in my house pretty much all the time. So radio is where I get most of my news. And then also just from news sources online. And then every once in a while I would turn on the local news just to see what's going on locally. But yeah, primarily NPR.
And do you think they did a good job with covering the pandemic? Did you feel like there was anything they weren't covering?
No, I feel like they did a really good job. For a long time, they were covering the Cuomo conferences. He would have like a COVID conference like every day at like noon or 11. And then they would feature the health person. I don't even remember who it was, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, they would break in for those news conferences for a long time until things started kind of being a lot of the same every day. But I feel like they did a good job.
Yeah, I also used yeah. NPR and agree with you there. Since you mentioned New York State Governor Andrew Cuomo, how did you feel about how he handled things or how things were handled at a local or federal level?
I feel like he was extra cautious, but I agree with generally how he conducted things. I think just the flow of information was very reassuring because there was so much uncertainty that just having that consistent voice of reason, and he always kind of comes off as a very calm, reassuring tone. Like I appreciated that, and then also anything coming from Fauci was fantastic, I felt. Is that the question? I appreciated the news. And then they also had like they developed that New York COVID website
mm-hmm.
where you could check on the daily cases, and that was also a source of information that I found very helpful, tracking like local spread. Our school also came out with their own, they pushed their own information. information as far as like the numbers, which was helpful.
And how did you feel about how the people around you, family, friends, community, handled the pandemic? Was there anything that surprised you?
Generally, my small circle was pretty like-minded, and the fact that we were all being extra careful and we're just like, we'll catch up next year or get together outside with, you know, space and masks. I think the part that surprised us was when we were invited to like a more extended family get together for it was either Thanksgiving or Christmas, but it was just definitely like before vaccines, and I was like, we are not participating, like this is not our comfort level. And the fact that they were organizing it told me that they were not like-minded, so I was just, nope, well, we're gonna stay safe. And you know, the nice thing is we can always use our kids, and the fact that we have a foster daughter and like she has a lot of community exposure at that time, like we don't want to risk it for other people. We can always use that as a fallback for why we're not particularly interested in getting together.
Did that surprise you that there were people who didn't take it as seriously?
Very much so. I probably shouldn't be surprised, but it does surprise me. I don't know. I guess I can have, you know, you kind of form your own echo chamber, and then when you hear something from outside that echo chamber, then it does kind of startle you.
How did you feel about sort of the protests and political climate during this time?
How did I feel about them?
Yeah.
I was very supportive. It's hard because it was going on during this like terrible time, and people were trying to, you know, express how they felt and everything that was wrong was going on. And I definitely supported that. And it was nice seeing people doing what they could with masks on. Gosh, it feels like so long ago, but it's still so relevant and still going on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Let me start over. Has your experience transformed how you think about your family, friends, and community?
Yeah, it makes me definitely reflect on our exposure level, just like for everything. I was like, we've been so lucky like through all this to not have anyone in our immediate circle get sick, but also we haven't had the flu or the cold really very much either. So it's definitely like, I hope that masks stick around, especially during cold and flu season. And I'm better at saying no to certain things that make us uncomfortable. And we've definitely we're kind of easing back in to activities. The kids are still unvaccinated. We are completely vaccinated, but curious to know how this school year is going to go.
Yeah, for sure. And how was your vaccine experience?
I'm a baby when it comes to shots, and I was really, it went really well. We ended up going to a community center in Buffalo, and I qualified early because of my weight. Did the BMI, what is that?
Yeah.
What is that called?
Yeah, just your BMI, your body mass index.
Yeah. So we qualified that way, and so we got it a little bit before it was available to others, and it was really well organized. There was some AmeriCorps volunteers helping out at the community center, and yeah, I was impressed, and it was easy, and I had no reactions to either shot.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. My final question for you is, knowing what you know now, what do you think that individuals, communities, or governments need to keep in mind for the future?
I think that it's really important to have a central way to just give information out. Because I think the most frustrating part through all of this has been the misinformation and like the anti-vaccine movement and where all those people are getting their information, and it's very frustrating to see people not thinking for themselves and being a good advocate and not really, what am I trying to think, say, not critiquing their media sources. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't know how to describe
No, that makes that. Sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, where is this coming from? Who is the original source? Is it accurate? But I think that moving forward, I think that if we have good information coming from the top down and it's disseminated clearly and shows evidence, I'd like to think that people will learn from that and we can hopefully think of the community rather than just ourselves. I think there was a lot of selfishness
mm-hmm.
throughout the pandemic and like people not thinking about what's good for the community and for others. And I hope that changes.
Yes, I hope so too. Was there anything that we haven't discussed that you wanted to be included?
I don't think so. It was an interesting positive and negative experience overall. Just like, I'm glad that I had a family during all of it because I can see it being very lonely for some people. And I think that we're fortunate to have young kids, and I don't think it's going to affect them negatively. And like I said, hopefully there will be positive change that comes out of this for the greater good moving forward.
I hope so too. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for your time and your contribution to the archive. It's greatly appreciated.
You're so welcome. Thank you, Ashley.